sorceress, the birch and hazel, I will still be where I am. The house, the beach, the boy and the grove, I am the house that holds you still, the place you first made love. I, the boy who in your heartbeat and your breathing, gallop toes on the wind out of the trees, across the meadowland of bulbs and sheathing, flower stems that lilted in the
house, the name of the song, Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards, performing here live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards will be among the many performers at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which starts tomorrow at around 5 o'clock, goes into the wee hours, and then continues all day and night on Saturday in downtown Urbana at a bunch of different locations. They'll be playing at 10:15 tomorrow night until about 11:30 at Heartland Gallery. And later on in the program, I'll be talking with Edward Birch, who's a founding member of The Viper and his famous orchestra. They are also coming to the festival for a couple of performances and a workshop on Saturday, which I'll tell you more about as the program continues. Welcome to Laura Cortese, also Mariel Vandersteel, and Valerie Thompson. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
So it's nice you got here a day early for the festival from Boston and environs.
Yes.
Are we a stop on the midst of a tour?
You are. We were in, where were we last night? Chicago. Chicago. We were in Chicago last night and the night before in Detroit, and we go to Madison the day after tomorrow, a little Midwest tour. But we have a good friend here, Kate Fritz, and she promised a good Halloween vibes. So we're here a day early to watch Psycho and, you know, get dressed up in our costumes.
And it should be said that the two of them have partial costumes on. The third one, I don't know what her problem is, but she's... just wearing the cello. Well, I should modify that a little bit.
She's wearing it. Leave it to their imagination.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's right. We can dress for radio and do what we want. But there is a witch hat in the room, and there is a kind of a lavender-ish wig that belongs to what's the rest? Or is that?
To be determined.
To be determined.
We have three siren outfits that will be our main costumes tonight.
But siren.
We're just getting in the mood.
As in the women who on whose island you don't want to fall if you're a man.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, good costume for a girl band. You know?
Well, Laura, you have a thing for girl bands, or at least
guess.
Girl recordings, or
girl bands. Well, I have a thing for getting to sing and hang out with my friends. This girl band has sort of evolved into being the Dance Cards from touring with quite a few different friends that I grew up playing music with at Fiddle Camp. I don't know why there were so many of us that were girls. And certainly of the girls and boys that grew up going to Fiddle Camp together, more of the girls ended up doing music professionally. So it might just be sort of accidental in some cases.
Obviously more diligent.
Yeah.
At least in the case of that particular group. But not only girl bands, so to speak, but also girl string bands, and especially fiddling.
I know. I played bass with Uncle Earl way back when. I don't know if you know that band.
I don't, but I'm not a good one to bounce
these
things
off
of.
They were an old-time string band. And then I sang briefly for another all-girl bluegrass band called Della May. And then I did this thing called the Acoustic Project, which was cello and a couple fiddle players. So Natalie Haas, Brittany Haas, Hanukkah Castle, Valerie Thompson, and Marielle Vandersteel have all participated in that thing, the Acoustic Project, which grew into this new album, Into the Dark, and then into Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards.
Well, I did see on the website it was an announcement that said, "Finally, we have a name." After how long looking?
Well, I mean, we've been touring this sort of ensemble with the cello and the fiddles for the last 3 years, and it was just under the name Laura Cortese, and it was more of a revolving cast of characters of those ladies that I mentioned. But about 2 years ago, we started touring, Valerie and Marielle and myself, and we just, every time we got in the van, we felt like a unit, a band, and we decided to give it a name sometime in the summer. And we had a little contest on Facebook, and a lot of friends submitted. We had one friend in particular who submitted like 50 names via text message. And
did this come from that friend?
It did. It was actually this friend's very first name suggestion, even though at the time we all kind of were like, not that into it. But by the time we got down to picking our favorites, it was in the top favorites for all three of us, and it gave us a big brainstorm of photo shoot options and poster options, music video options. So we decided to go for it.
And you're all, I know you were originally from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right? What about the rest? You all converged on Boston area, but. Mm-hmm.
I grew up actually just 20 minutes, maybe half an hour north from Laura in the San Francisco Bay Area. We grew up going to the fiddle camp that you mentioned together.
Similarly, Valerie?
No, I'm actually from Kansas City, and I moved up to Boston to go to school, and Laura and I were at school at the same time at Berklee.
The Berklee so College of Music.
Yep.
Did you, Laura, did you major in viola or violin?
Fiddle,
or
yeah, violin, basically. Fiddle. I only picked up the viola for this very recent record we just released in April, Into the Dark. I felt we needed that voice. We were missing that voice, so I decided to learn the viola.
Well, I do want to follow up on that a little bit, but usually when I see Berklee, I think of jazz or other, I don't know what's the right term.
Contemporary
music, styles. Okay, that's fine.
Well, when I was a teenager at the same fiddle camp, it all kind of comes back to Valley of the Moon Scottish Fiddling School. Valley of the Moon. Matt Glazer, who was the head of the string department at the time that I was there, and now he's head of the American Roots program. At Berklee College of Music, he came as a teacher, and he was there mostly talking about jazz and a lot of theory. And a good friend of mine, Hanukkah Castle, got really inspired and decided to go to Berklee. And then she started to tell us about all this incredible stuff that was going on there, and I got inspired to go to Berklee. And increasingly more fiddlers and people that play roots music have been going to Berklee over that time frame. And now there's a huge department of people that have grown up playing fiddle music, American fiddle music, Scottish fiddle music, Irish fiddle music, that all attend and somehow expand their knowledge of music, but not necessarily through jazz or contemporary music, sometimes through fiddling traditions.
Well, the whole business of roots, I mean, you're here to play at a Folk and Roots Festival. And I know I ask questions a lot in this show, which sometimes I've just about decided are completely pointless, regarding what is roots music, what is jazz, what is folk, things like that. But you know, your music is really hard to categorize in any way at all. But you used the term roots a few times. So, what's your take on your own music?
What's my take? I mean, it's definitely ever evolving. But one of the things that I think is really sort of a, other than just the sound of the genre or a sound of various genres, is the community element, the idea of sort of breaking down the barrier between the audience and the performer that folk music is you know, so known for. And when you say roots music, I think you can also sort of trace a path back to some form of traditional music that people can identify in some cases. But for us, it's definitely, we come together from a variety of different traditions. Marielle has studied Irish and Norwegian fiddling. I spent some time visiting West Virginia learning old-time music, but grew up playing Scottish and Cape Breton fiddle, have a real love of Quebecois music. Valerie used to actually do like Irish Shannos dancing when she was growing up and has studied a lot of different musical styles. But I think the main thing that we enjoy is the idea of you get in a room with people and you're connecting with them and you're breaking down that barrier all the time of sort of connecting a circuit with the audience.
Well, and just the idea of fiddles only.
Yeah,
you know, it has the connotation of, you know, fiddling in many different styles, which is traditional.
Yes,
but it's also classical, or can be classical.
Yeah, I really have no classical training. It's sort of a, I spent exactly 6 months at Berkeley studying classical music, and I almost failed my proficiency that semester.
We won't follow up on that. Well, I do want to follow up on the notion of fiddling viola, but maybe after we hear another tune.
Yeah.
Because we got you here live. Cool. We'd love to hear you play.
We'll do the title track of the new album, Into the Dark.
Into the Dark.
We walked out under the stars, inventing constellations, fabricating time to wander in. We waited for the comet's arc, a sound the world was ending, a flash of green descending through the stars. And while our lovers' backs were turned, engaged in conversation, the slightest indication of a spark. A demon and a rose, he said, your wit is ever sharper, it's cutting through the cage around my heart. Would you hold on to me as the flame grows dim, our voices ringing through the dark. Thank you.
Dark, the title track of the CD. On the album, it just says Laura Cortese, but it would now be, say, if you had to redo the cover, you'd call it Laura Cortese
and the Dance Cards. Well, we would actually have to make a new album, because on this album, while both Valerie and Marielle are on the album, there's quite a few other players as well. So we've sort of adapted all these arrangements to get as lush as we can with the three of us. And but we have a lot of friends that appeared in some way on the record.
But it still keeps the string sound. I mean,
it's mostly strings. There's a trumpet and a few extra harmony vocals, a few smattering of drums.
So does anybody play? Do they usually play all at once, or does it depend on the sound on the song?
It definitely depends on the song. In some cases, we were all in the room together. Playing, and in some cases there were overdubs.
So it could be sort of it sounds like it could be almost a full orchestral sound.
I think that we are like waiting for someone to ask us to like show up and have a whole orchestra.
Well, one can do that with overdubs, even with the small number that you have. Into the Dark, I'm just sort of reading. I don't have a copy of this. It'd be great to
have one for you.
Wonderful. Then we will. But just reading the descriptions of some of the songs, and I'd heard some ahead of time. There seems to be at least some thread going through of women, not necessarily in distress, although maybe so.
In some cases,
but women having issues or
dealing with some darker topics of life.
Thank you. Why don't you describe it? Because my question is really what is that theme?
Well, I mean, I think the theme. Into the Dark, it definitely is the first half of the album. There's quite a few very dark songs that maybe confront you or subjects that I was confronted with that were hard for me to process as an individual. A news story from Richmond, California about a gang rape, and Richmond, California is one of the places I grew up, and the concept of infidelity in a relationship, things that psychologically were difficult for me to understand. And so I ended up writing songs to try to process at different angles. But at the same time, I think, at least for me, I like to touch on the joyous things in life. So even some of the songs that are more joyous on the album, they are also focused on things that might happen at night. One of the covers we did is of a Laura Veers tune, and a lot of the images that she talks about are sort of a band playing at night and the connection that you feel, this sort of explosive connection that you feel as a listener or as another musician, but specifically something that happens at night, or Heel to Toe, which is about going to a dance at night. So sort of the themes are both darker themes, but also just the lifestyle that we live, where we kind of are in the van all day, and then sort of at night is when we're out experiencing the most connection that we have in this world.
So is songwriting for you, at least at some level, therapy?
It can be. I mean, it's in the cases of these particular situations that I had a hard time writing about. They weren't situations that happened to me. They weren't personal things I had to process, but more intellectual ideas at the time. I think when I've needed to process something real, I've gone to a real therapist, not just written songs about it.
Well, but you did use the term a few times, needing to
process
information of some form or
I definitely other. Think it has a therapeutic element.
So you don't think that your own self-therapy, if we can call it that, by songwriting is quite as effective as the professionals?
Well, I think
at least
when the real traumas of life, it's interesting. I had on this album that these songs that I don't, they're not really about this, but on a couple of previous albums, my father passed away when I was 18, and so I went to the normal therapy that you would go to after going through a great loss. But 5 or 6 years after that happened, I kind of was hit with it again, and at that time I went to therapy, but I also wrote a bunch of songs, and those songs did function as a certain type of closure that maybe the therapy didn't.
Well, and often therapists will tell you to go write about something.
It's true.
Or journal or whatever, and that I would think songwriting, if you have the talent for it, would be a great way to probably better than doing the average, you know, write down what happened.
Yeah, well, I think especially in the case of loss of someone that you really care about, it's something that you can keep forever. You might have lost the person, but you find a way to create an elegant piece of art. Let's say you hope to create an elegant piece of art that then is part of the memory of them that you actually get to keep and goes on, which is, I think, the hard thing to process with loss is like that's done. But it doesn't have to be done if you can create some new bit of art with it.
I'm talking with Laura Cortese of Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards, all three of them here to perform tomorrow night at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival in downtown Urbana. It goes tomorrow night and all day Saturday. And coming up on Live and Local, I'll be talking with a member of the band called The Viper and his famous orchestra, who will be at the festival for a few events on Saturday. Live and Local today is supported in part by the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. Let's hear another song.
Great. We'll do a song called Village Green, also taking place at nighttime.
I was a girl on the village green. I hadn't time for daydreaming. I carried linen soft and bright. I carried secrets through the night. Walking by the houses grand, I'd hold my breath and like a statue stand to see the ones made of silk and gold as they danced on timber from the valley. On my knees to scrub the floors on which they glide in the dark. I would sing, sing a song, whisper low, singing for the people in the shadow. But for a story worth being told, pinned to a page, how I wish to sit and take in the violet smoke. As the music slowed, I woke from the spell. Now in the dark, I would sing, sing a song, whisper.
Village Green. This is the one. One of the ones I was thinking of. Where this is from the point of view of a servant.
Yeah.
I tend to have a little trouble following lyrics as a rule, so I'm relying on a crib.
I used to have that as well.
I used to.
Well, I used to have to really process all the music that was going on first, and so maybe four or five listens of a track, and then I could get into the lyrics. But I've been focusing on being able to get the lyrics on the first round these days. It's a servant. I got this idea for this song from a Patti Smith quote that I read in I have a copy of the Dream of Life book, and I can't remember the exact quote, but Patti Smith is sort of a hero of mine, and it had something to do with when she was a girl in New Jersey, there wasn't time for daydreaming. And I kind of just couldn't imagine being a child and not having time for daydreaming. And so I started to write down that path. And as I got further into the song, I realized that today I don't actually have much time for daydreaming unless I carve it out as an adult. I'm, you know, very, you know, focused on what I want to accomplish in life, seeing my friends or what it is, spending time with my family. But there isn't that much just genuine space. And so I sort of created a situation that got to the heart of times you might not actually the way you work might not actually allow for daydreaming, and that is something that I would want to have time to just let my mind run.
Does being on tour give you a chance for that? Because on one hand, I would think you're sort of nonstop. On the other hand, there must be long periods of time where you don't have anything else to do but sit in a car
if or everyone
sit in
else
a
is
hotel
asleep,
or something.
That happens, I think. But I think it's with three girls in a van.
Okay.
Valerie's excited.
Well, when
probably
I drive sometimes, like when I drive, I definitely am like, I definitely like daydream as,
oh,
especially,
sure.
Especially when it's like a nice straight road, yeah. Like coming down here today from Chicago. Like
that's a straight road.
It's just straight. And so you just enjoy the ride and you think about like hopefully something fun, not just about like what's on the to-do list.
Yeah. I do find though that in the van with this, at least this particular three girls, we've developed a hashtag called LCDC van chats. Because we get in the van and we start talking about things, whether today it was we were reading World War I history off of Wiki and discussing the facts that we didn't know that led us to reading about
Napoleon,
pre-World War I. And we also listened to some Radio Lab, and we listened to a lot of music and talk about the music and talk about songwriting and get in all sorts of conversations. So I think when people pass out and are sleeping and there's just one driver is the time you get that space we're talking about.
And yet somehow these conversations may show up in a song sometime.
It could. It possibly could. I might be writing a new song about Napoleon.
Well, look out for it. We will look out for it. Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards, who are Marielle Vandersteel on the fiddle. She also plays an interesting instrument called the Hardanger fiddle, which we're not going to hear today, but you can hear it tomorrow night if you go to the show. And then Valerie Thompson on cello. And Laura playing the viola. Well, you just put the viola down, didn't you?
I did. I made a quick switch on you.
I missed it while I was looking down here. In any event, they're going to be playing at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, specifically at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 10:15 until about 11:30. None of the shows for anybody are very long. On one hand, it gives you a chance to hear lots of different groups. On the other hand, it means that if you don't get in soon, you'll probably miss them. So if you really want to hear this group, that's what time they start. That's what time they end. For more information, go to folkandroots.org. Think we have time for one more song.
We'll give you a dance party to really seal this Dance Cards deal. It's called Heel to Toe, and it was written by a friend of ours named Sean Staples from the Boston community. A man, I can't believe it, in our girl band. But it's a good one. So sing along wherever you're listening.
Mama's been tired. In a week, baby's been crying all night. Squeak, 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 meow, I'm fine.
Meow, I'm fine.
I ain't got nowhere to go except downtown to dance that heel to toe. Daddy's been quiet, he don't talk to anyone. He got things to do, yeah. Things they never do get done. Oh, meow, I'm fine.
Meow. Heel to toe.
and you don't come out all day. Well, me, I'm fine.
Me, I'm fine.
I ain't got nowhere to go except downtown to dance that heel to toe. Sister, she's a sight. I catch her staring at the door. She used to talk about dreams, but she don't dream much anymore. Me, I'm fine.
Me, I'm fine.
Heel to Toe from Laura Cortese and the Dance Cards, live in our studio on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Their new CD is called Into the Dark. They'll be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival for a performance tomorrow night. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned for a conversation with Edward Birch of the Viper and his famous orchestra, who will also be at the festival on Saturday. Our program today is made possible by Sinfonia da Camera, presenting Opening Night Romance on Saturday, November 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in the Follinger Great Hall at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Under conductor and pianist Ian Hobson, Sinfonia will perform works by Brahms, Poulenc, and Strauss.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Ba da ba da da ba ba di ba da do da. Ba da di ba da do 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 ba da da.
Here comes the star.
That tune is called Whispering. It's a performance by the Viper and his famous orchestra. They are going to be at the Folk and Roots Festival in downtown Urbana this weekend for, well, at least three events. They're doing a kids show Saturday at 4 o'clock. They're doing an adult show, as it were, Saturday night at 11:15. And they're also doing a Build a Band workshop. More on why they would be doing that coming up in just a moment. That'll be on at about 2:30, each of those in a different location, which I'll review later. The Viper is a fellow named Ryan Gerving. He's not able to join us today. However, I do have the next best thing, so to speak, Edward Birch, who is, has been affiliated with the group for a long time. He's also a journalist who's been at work here in Champaign-Urbana for some time and musician in lots of other capacities as well. And very pleased you're able to join us today, Edward, on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The Viper and his famous orchestra, a group I've heard of for a long while without ever actually having heard it except, you know, on a recording here and there, started in Champaign-Urbana in the mid-90s. Give us a little idea of the genesis of the group, and were you involved from the outset?
Pretty close to the beginning. We formed because Ryan, the Viper, was playing some just solo shows like he used to do when he was an undergraduate up at Madison. And I met him when we were both, I think we were both TAs for the same introduction to film course. And so he and I also started doing a country rock kind of project called the Kennett Brothers. And then he asked me to do some stuff with him in the Viper and his famous orchestra. And the initial version of that was a little different than it is now because Ryan was on the baritone uke and then had the bunch of us on small, you know, tiny ukuleles backing him. And then it evolved into the lineup as it stands, where you have Riley Broach on the upright bass and Rob Hen on trombone and me on suitcase with either jazz brushes or whisk brooms or something like that as percussion. And that lineup, I would say, has been stable since about 97, 98.
Now, when you say stable, that actually leaves out the fact that you sort of didn't do anything for quite some time until, what, just a few years ago?
Yeah, well, in the early 2000s, Ryan had moved to Turkey to take a teaching position, and so the band was kind of on hiatus at that point. I was touring with Jay Bennett after he had left Wilco, or I'm sorry, was removed from Wilco. But and so I was busy doing that. But then when Ryan got back to the country, we started playing some more shows again. So that picked back up maybe around 2003 or so, 2004.
So I have to ask, and maybe there is no answer to this or none you would care to reveal, but why the Viper?
It comes from a couple of things, I believe, in terms of why Ryan sort of chose that identity. One was there was a Tiny Tim song about the Viper who has come to vipe your windows.
Okay.
and I think for Tiny Tim, as well as for Ryan, and Tiny Tim being obviously a musical hero that he admires, Viper was drawing upon 1930s jazz slang. It specifically is about a person who likes to smoke marijuana. Ryan liked to take on that name because he was one who actually never likes to smoke marijuana, but he just sort of liked the jazz idiom and wanted to invoke that in the persona. In fact, he did his dissertation on jazz slang and the use of jazz language in literature.
So it's an interesting collection of instruments. You mentioned, well, of course, Ryan plays the ukulele. Not
yes.
So unusual. In fact, we're having somebody come play for us live on that instrument on tomorrow's show, a woman named Del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
But you do The Suitcase, and
yes.
John Peacock, who's going to be joining you for Saturday's gig, sometimes plays something called the stylophone.
Yes.
What is that?
The stylophone was a electronic instrument developed, I think it came into being in the late 60s. They were definitely prominent by the early mid-70s. And similar to a mellotron in the sense that you become part of the process of making the connection that makes the sound, in this case, you have a stylus that is connected to a wire that goes on the bass, and on the instrument on the top is like basically a diagram of a piano keyboard. And then when the stylus touches the points on the drawn-out keyboard, it makes an electronic note. And you can play them individually. You can slide it along the top. I'm sure there are songs we could point to out there that have it, but we'd have to do some digging to find it. So if you really want to hear how the stylophone does its thing, then you should come out to the Iron Post.
So he'll be doing that as well as the washtub bass, because he's filling in with your, for your bass player. But I saw a reference to the Viper and his famous orchestra calling it a quasi-skiffle combo, and I had to look up what is skiffle. And I'm assume others would have to do the same. So why don't you help us out? What is skiffle, and is that a good word to apply to this group?
It's probably better than jug band, which somehow we got identified as, or swing band, because we're not really either of those things. I think skiffle makes sense in that it's an immediate precursor to rock and roll in the 50s, and it would use often, you know, acoustic guitars, perhaps one of them tuned down as a bass, maybe a snare drum, and learning relatively simple songs, but playing them with a decent amount of energy. And because our instrumentation choice and the arrangements that result from that is at least a little bit different, the energy in the feel that comes from skiffle, I think, is as good a description as we could come up with. I mean, because we can say that we're jazzy, but that doesn't really say much of anything, you know, because there's so many different strains that it could be pulling from. And, you know, we take inspiration as much from Slim Gaylord or Fats Waller as we might from Lou Reed or Paul McCartney or the Kinks or something, you know.
Of course, people can hear this. The Viper and his famous orchestra a few times on Saturday at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. My guest, one of their members, Edward Birch. And let's hear a tune here called Winnebago Bay. And my notes here say that it's a little bit of a sentimental sound. You told me that you thought this was kind of a good example of Ryan's songwriting in particular.
Yeah, because I think he's able to bring out the feel of sort of like a Hawaiian love song with it, and it's sort of a Hawaiian love song for his home state of Wisconsin, and so it's he likes to mess around with regional specificity of songwriting styles and put them in other contexts. So I think this song is a good example of that.
In the spring, springtime, would you be by the bright blue bills of the Winnebago Bay? Sheboygan calls, our Sheboygan.
you a nicer year if I told. Would you be my I know why by the Winnebago Bay?
Music by Ryan Gerving, also known as The Viper, and his famous orchestra performing his tune called Winnebago Bay. My guest this portion of Live and Local, Edward Birch, a founding member of the famous orchestra, who are going to be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on Saturday. We're going to go out with a song that is Ryan's adaptation of Rhapsody in Blue, a pretty interesting take on this. What was the genesis of this arrangement? It was for a special event, wasn't it?
Yes, we played a show. Actually, it was down on campus, and it was a cafe that is no longer there. I can't remember the name of it now. And Ryan wanted to, on the anniversary of Paul Whiteman's Experiment in Modern Music, he wanted to recreate that program. So we learned the five or six songs that were a part of that. And two of the songs that were on that were Whispering, which we heard earlier, and then Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue made its debut at this event. And when Ryan took on arranging it, he, you know, obviously he was arranging it for the instruments that we have, which makes it strange enough in itself. And then he also tried to get at the essence of it. So if you listen to the whole thing, it's not the complete piece, but it's enough of the different aspects to be sort of an essence. I don't want to be essentialist, you know, but it's sort of the essence of Rhapsody in Blue. And I think this is probably the one track that when people have heard it, they tend to talk about it the most.
Edward Birch of the Viper and his famous orchestra, they're doing a kids show on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Landmark Hotel Ballroom. That's a free program. Then at, just before that, at 2:30 to 3:30 at the Common Ground Food Co-op, they're doing a Build a Band workshop, and you can find out how you can do what they have done, at least to a point. And then Saturday night, late at 11:15, they'll be at the Iron Post. That one does require either a cover or the festival wristband. You buy the wristband, you get to Into Everything for both days of the festival. It's Friday and Saturday. For more information, go to folkandroots.org. And for more information on the Viper and his famous orchestra, Edward, I actually forgot the website. You know it offhand?
I believe it is viper.org.
Viper.org. Easy enough. Edward, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you for having us, or having me.
Either way.
All right.
Everybody is here with us, courtesy of Rhapsody in Blue, right now, written initially by Gershwin, redone by The Viper here on Live and Local.
I'm Yeah.